This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin. When we have the opportunity to have this gentleman on the show, it's always great stuff because Mike is very well informed on Major League Baseball and does a great job of covering MLB for CBS Sports. He's Mike Exisa from CBS Sports, and he's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mike, good to have you with us again.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are well. I almost fell out of my seat in excitement when I read the story that you put up within the last hour at CBSSports.com. Bold predictions for every MLB team in 2025. Scroll down. I get to the Cleveland Guardians. Be still my heart. Two outfielders will hit 20 home runs. Oh, Mike, come on, man. You're not allowed to toy with me that way.
You know, I wrote that before they traded for Nolan Jones again. So, like, you could kind of see a path to maybe having 3 20 home runs.
Oh, my God, Mike, please.
Because it's been such a long time, right? Since Michael Brantley and I don't remember, it was 2016, maybe, I forget. But
Jin-Soo Choo?
But since Soo Choo before him, it's gone on for so long. And it's not like the Guardians have been bad. They made the postseason plenty. You're not getting much power from your outfield. And I just feel like this is the year they could kind of do it with Lane Thomas and Stephen Kwan. He's not really a power guy, but he did have 14 home runs last year, and he's kind of right at that age when guys have peak season. So, yeah, I could see it happening. And then they added Nolan Jones on top of that, which could help too.
Mike, you got the Guardians second behind the Twins.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is I look at all of your brethren at CBS Sports. Nobody likes the Guardians to win the Central this year. Or is it just easier to make them second? And if they do win, we'd be like, I thought they were going to be second, so I wasn't too far off.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think the Central might be the toughest division to pick. I think you kind of start with the White Sox at the bottom, and then the other four teams, I think you could put them in almost any order and defend it. It's kind of a jumbled mess there. And, you know, nobody really kind of stepped out this offseason and made, like, a huge upgrade. You know, the Royals didn't really do anything with their outfield, and Kansas City was just so healthy last season. It's just the kind of thing you can't really expect that to happen again. And, you know, the Tigers didn't really do much to upgrade their rotation. Well, they brought in Alex Cobb and he's already hurt, and the Jack Flaherty contract is structured in such a way that makes you think there's something not right with him physically. And they lost, I think they're down 4 center fielders this spring, so they're not great shape there. And You know, the Twins didn't, I mean, you kind of saw what they did last year. They were great for really like two-thirds of the season, and they just completely collapsed, and it's this, almost the same team. And I don't know. I just feel like those four teams there are, I mean, they could be separated by like four wins by the end of the season. They're just bunched so close together. I'd pick Cleveland second personally. I would not be shocked at all if they win the division again.
Mike Exisa joining us from CBS Sports. You look at the Guardians rotation. It's not the type of Guardians rotation that we're kind of used to seeing here. Tanner Bibee, great. You locked him up, good. Gavin Williams looks like he's healthy and good to go, and he could have a huge season. Then you got Luis Ortiz, who hasn't looked good so far. Ben Lively, who I think fooled everybody last year and pitched really well. And Logan Allen, who they were so high on last year, they sent him to Columbus and buried him and have said now he's a different kind of guy. Are you comfortable with the back three guys in that rotation?
You know, I am. I think Cleveland has earned the benefit of the doubt with the pitching, and you know, I'm a little disheartened to see what kind of Tristan McKenzie has become. He really hasn't been the same since his elbow injury a few years ago. But Luis Ortiz, I know he didn't have a great spring, but he's still kind of a like high-octane stuff guy that the Guardians have had success kind of maximizing there. I really like Gavin Williams. I know he didn't have a good year last year. I know he was hurt, and he just never really looked like the guy he was in 2023. But I'm still really high on him, and I feel pretty good about him. You know, that was one of those injury last year. It's like if they would have had that guy in the postseason last year, maybe things are different in the ALCS. But I'm pretty high on him. I think they'll get something going with Ortiz. Maybe it doesn't happen right out of the gate, but over time, I think by the end of the season, you're going to look up and say, okay, maybe he's not an ace, but he's a pretty good starting pitcher, and considering just kind of the moves they made there to unload Jimenez's contract, I thought that was a pretty kind of like savvy series of moves there, because you were probably a year away from, you know, we can't move Jimenez at all if he doesn't start hitting again. So I don't know if I'm comfortable. I feel like there's maybe like two teams in the sport that I'm comfortable with the rotation. It's like the Mariners and the Phillies and everybody else just like, well, hope for the best. But I think Cleveland is certainly on the benefit of the doubt with their pitching. I think they'll be okay.
Mike, as I sit here and I still try to figure it out, I'm going to leave judgment until I see what happens during the season. But the whole letting Josh Naylor, trading him away and then bringing in Carlos Santana, can you give me the positive on that for the Guardians? Like, because I think a lot of people want to say, I don't understand it, and I'm trying to find a way to understand. I like Carlos Santana. We liked him when he was here the first time. Sure. But it's like, I'm still trying to figure it out, and I'm going to let it play out before I pass judgment on it, but I'm just curious your thoughts.
Yeah, that was one of those moves that were really two moves that confused me, because Cleveland weren't a great offensive team, and you just traded one of your better hitters, and Carlos Santana has obviously been a great Guardian throughout his career, but he's kind of at the tail end of his career. You traded offense for defense there when they really kind of needed offense, and you ended up spending basically the same amount of money. And I think ultimately it comes down to they really like Slade Ciccone, who they got in the trade. And again, Cleveland with their pitching development is so good that if, you know, I think you could look up in maybe 6 months or less than that, really 3 months, and Ciccone's maybe one of their better starters. That wouldn't completely surprise me. I just think they just really like him. They got the draft pick in the trade as well. They just see it as we could kind of use this money in a different way. We think, you know, Santana's still really, really good against lefties, and I just think they can think more of Santana's bat, and obviously his glove is great. And they didn't want to lose Naylor for possibly nothing after the season, so they got the draft pick, they got the pitcher. I think it was just about making sure they didn't lose Naylor for nothing, and you know, they replaced him with kind of a familiar face there. I didn't love that kind of move there, but I guess I could see it. I guess I could understand it from their perspective.
All right, thank you. That makes.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Makes sense.
Mike Exisa joining us from CBS Sports. Mike covers Major League Baseball. We here tend to try to be optimistic about our teams. And with Travis Bazana, number one overall pick, the optimistic thought has been maybe if everything goes well and he goes down to Double A and kicks butt and goes up to Triple A for a little bit, we could see him this year. Realistically, when could the number one overall pick of last year's draft be in Cleveland? Do you think it's this year or are you thinking 2026?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's probably maybe the earliest is maybe June or July, probably closer to July. You know, I don't think they traded Jimenez specifically because, okay, we have Bazana coming, we got to make room for him. I think a lot of that was we got to get rid of this contract while we can. And it just so happens that the number one pick last year plays the same position, so it kind of lined up nicely for them. I think maybe July would kind of be a good outcome there. I don't know if they're counting on it. I don't know if they're going into the season saying, okay, you know, this is our like trade deadline acquisition, so to speak, where we're getting Bazan in the lineup. I think we could see him this year. You know, we've seen kind of the last few years that, you know, it's really hard to be a rookie in baseball these days. Even Jackson Chourio with the Brewers last year, he was pretty bad for 2 months. Jackson Holliday was pretty bad when he came up last year. It's not a guarantee he's going to hit, but there's a pretty clear path now that Jimenez has been traded. I think we'll see him in the summer, closer to the second half.
Were you surprised when Terry Francona went to the Reds?
Yeah, I thought he was done. I thought he was, you know, he kind of physically had, because he had so many surgeries, right? It wasn't like he gave up baseball because he was tired of the sport and wanted to spend more time or something. He just physically couldn't do it. And I guess just really like the time off has really done him good. You know, I didn't see him this spring, but I've heard that he's basically just like in better shape now. He's kind of just physically like in better shape. Like he's healthy and kind of got the itch, and you know, he has some ties to Cincinnati from when he played, so I guess it makes sense. I was surprised. I thought he was just, you know, it was time to move on and retire and kind of live the retired life, but you know, with these guys, it's baseball is their life, so I kind of understand coming back.
What did you think when you heard the news that Nolan Jones was coming back to Cleveland and a middle infielder is going to Colorado after they, you know, sent Nolan Jones to Colorado for a middle infielder?
Yeah, I thought it was a good move for Cleveland. I didn't really understand what the Rockies are doing there. They're like, they have like four other Tyler Freeman types. It just doesn't make sense for their team. And I would have much rather have seen things through with Nolan Jones. And I know he was so bad last year, but I would have rather seen things there for Cleveland. It's, you kind of get a player you need, someone who could hit the ball out of the park. You know the guy because you had him in your system for how long and how many, you know, Tyler Freeman. I don't really know what he does for you at this point because you've got, oh God, I got Daniel Sneeman. You've got all these like utility guys who you only got so many roster spots, right? And it made more sense to kind of add somebody who could hit the ball out of the park instead of somebody who could go catch the ball and run fast. Cause you got guys who could do that. And Jones can do that too. I mean, he stole a lot of bases as well. So I really like that trade for Cleveland. I don't really understand what the Rockies are doing, but that's like nothing new for them.
Is Jones a guy that you want to see at the very least platoon in right field with John Kenzie Noel, or could he be, could he become an everyday start?
I think you platoon him to start. You know, Will Brennan is, I don't know how much he's really moving the needle for you. And I think with Jones, you should really see things through there and give him a chance to, at least against Dryden, send him out there. And if he comes out the gate strong and he's hitting well and he's going to play good defense anyway, if he's hitting well, I think you start putting him in there every single day. You just put him in good position at first, put him in good matchups, and see where it goes from there. But, I would play him over there for every day for sure.
Mike Exisa joining us from CBS Sports. In the column that you just put in, the bold predictions for every team, right underneath the Guardians, you have the Colorado Rockies with Ryan Feltner will be an all-star. Ryan's from here. Ryan's been on the show. He's a good kid. We've been pulling for him. Injured, you know, when he got hit in the face with a line drive. Why do you think Ryan Feltner can put it together this year?
Yeah, you know, just talking to people in the game, he's one of those guys where it's like if you get him away from Coors Field, you kind of get him with a team that kind of knows what it's doing with pitching, he has a chance to really kind of take off just because he's got a very wide arsenal. You know, the thing every team is looking for right now is like the next Seth Lugo who's got like seven pitches and can throw them all at any time. And he's not as extreme as Lugo, but it's that kind of like approach where he can throw anything at any time. He's got a lot of just so many different kind of pitch shapes and velocities. And I don't know if he's ever going to kind of become what he can be with the Rockies, but I know there's a lot of teams that really like him and would like to kind of pry him loose if they ever made him available. So I just kind of went out on a limb and figured, you know, if anyone in that team is going to put it together and be an all-star kind of out of nowhere, he would be my pick just because I know so many people in the game like him as a pitcher.
Last question for me. What do you think the sophomore season is going to be like for Stephen Vogt here compared to his freshman year? Man, everyone should have a freshman year like he had, huh?
Yeah, you know, the bullpen made him look really smart at times, which isn't to say he wasn't a good manager, but when you have that kind of bullpen and you kind of, like, do anything and nothing's going to backfire you on you, it's easy to kind of – that's how managers win manager of the year, right? Like, you know, yeah. the bullpen makes him look smart. Things went really well last year, and they did have some adversity in midseason, right? You know, they kind of fell down the standings and had to kind of fight for the division title there. You know, I never really know what the ex-player who has, like, no managerial experience. I know Vogt had some coaching experience, but he never managed in the minors. Teams are gravitating towards that kind of profile more now, but I never really know what to expect, and he was great last year, and it seems like the players love him. I have no reason to think that he's any kind of liability, or he looks like he's, like, the next great manager there.
Guardians win the division? What do you think, Mike?
I picked them second, so I'm going to say no, but they're going to be right there, I think.
Great to have you with us again.
Thanks,
thank you,
Mike.
Very much. Look forward to reading everything from Mike Exisa at CBSSports.com, and go there right now. You'll smile if you're a Guardians fan who's looking for outfield power like I've been for about 15 years. Mike, thank you.
Yep, sure thing.
Mike joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.